Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created him. In the likeness of God made he him. Let's pray. Father, bless these moments and minutes. May they be productive and profitable. May they minister grace to every hearer. We pray if there's someone here this morning who knows not Christ, that they might come to know him. I pray that every believer might come to appreciate the privilege of enjoying the life that you've given to make the most of now. We pray that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the book. Look at it. Right here. There's no book like this book. This is the book of books. Here we find both God and here we find man. Sometimes this book is like a telescope. It enables us to look out into the very depths of heaven. And if our hearts are pure enough, according to the book of Matthew, we're able to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Sometimes, however, this book is like a mirror. We open it up, and instead of seeing God, we see ourselves, and so it should be. There's a story told of a man in a hurry who saw someone who appeared to be his exact double. He said he was my exact double in every way, in height, in weight, in everything, except he was wearing different clothing. Someone said, "Did you go up to him and find out who he was and where he was from?" "No." "Why not?" "Well, I don't know. I just did not like the looks of him." Sometimes we look into the Word of God and we see ourselves and we just don't like the looks of us. And we look into the Bible and we see ourselves the sinner. But thank God, if we continue looking, we also see a Savior from sin. We see the Lord Jesus. Let's look into the Bible again this morning and see what we see. Originally, man was made beautiful. As a matter of fact, it says here in the very first verse, he was made in the likeness of God. God was able to step back at the end of each day and say, "It is good." When he made the light, when he made the land, when he made the lights in the heavens, he said, "It is good." And then on the sixth day, when he made man, the Bible says that God stepped back and said, "It is very good." When God made man, he made him in his own likeness. In Psalm 139, we see that man was fearfully and wonderfully made. But then again, we saw in chapter 3 of Genesis, that sin ruins everything. God made man and placed him in paradise. But when sin was finished, man was a vagabond and a wanderer in the earth, cast out, a sinner. If when we look into the Bible and we see ourselves and we don't like what we see, let us remember that God is not finished yet. Every time we open the Bible, it's an opportunity to change. And we, like Noah, can also experience what I call alterations. Not alterations. That's just pulling up the sleeve a little bit or raising a hem or letting out a waistband. We need more than alterations. We need alterations, alterations. So we need to find an altar, and there God can do great and wonderful things even today. May you find such an altar. May you find such a grace. In these first chapters of the Bible, we see what every man wants. We also see what every man needs. What does every man want? I have been in the world some 55 years, and I don't consider myself old, but I've been around enough to know that basically men want the same thing. And we find that reflected also in the Bible. What do men want? To live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. That's it. That's the longing of every heart. We want to live. We find that in Genesis chapter 1, where God Almighty stoops down in the Garden of Eden and breathes into Adam the breath of life, and he becomes a living soul. In Genesis chapter 1, we can find out how man was made, and there we find how man became a living being. And we can also find how to live. We begin with God. A life without God is not living. A man wants to love. And there in chapter 2, we are invited to a wedding, the very first wedding. Adam and Eve, and not a marriage made in heaven, but a marriage made by God as he brings Eve to Adam. Man's first desire is to live. His second desire is to love. And there we see God officiates over the first wedding. We also learn there's a difference between the wedding and the marriage. The wedding is one thing. It's the cake, cutting the cake and throwing the rice and lighting the candles. The wedding is one thing. The marriage is something else. And we saw that while it began well and began with high hopes, as all marriages do, if God is not in the center of paradise, quickly that wonder and that wonderful thing disintegrates and falls apart. Man wants to live and to love. The man also has a desire to learn. You don't have to be in the world too long to find that out. We want to learn. And so we look into microscopes and we look into telescopes and we want to know what the moon is made out of and what it feels like to walk on its dust. We send satellites into space and spaceships to Mars. Why? Because man has this insatiable desire to learn. We want to know. We want to know about life. We want to know about love. We want to know about God. We want to know. In chapter 3, we find that there in the middle of a garden is something that man didn't need to know. He didn't need to know in personal experience evil. And God said, of all the trees of the garden thou shalt eat, but there's one tree. Tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't need to know that. All the sorrow and the heartache and the suffering that comes from knowing sin. Well, I want to know what it's like. No, you don't. No, you don't. It looks good in the beginning. But God said sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. The young person behind the handball court takes the cigarette, lights it, wants to know. 60 years later, I've seen them stick the cigarette in a hole in the throat after they've had a tracheotomy and still want to get that smoke into their lungs. You don't want to know that. Sin always leaves its mark. Sin always leaves its stain. Man wants to know. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3, this is life eternal, that men might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Whom to know is to have life eternal. Do you know him? That's a desire of men's hearts, to live, to love, to learn, and fourthly, to leave a legacy. Somehow we want people to know that we've been here. We don't want to be the mayfly that just flutters around for a few brief moments in the sunlight and disappears. We want to have our life mean something and count for something. We want to leave our mark somehow, evidence that we've been here. In chapter 4, we see a legacy, one good and one bad. Chapter 5, once again, here's this book. And here, it's called the Book of the Generations of Adam. Male and female created he them and blessed them, called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son, in whose, in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enoch, and Seth lived after he begat Enoch 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 90 years and begat Canaan, and Enoch lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 905 years, and he died. And so the chapter goes. Here we have this genealogy of the ancestors of Adam, your ancestors and my ancestors. And we see that each one left a legacy. Each one left a mark, and each one was not forgotten. Each one was famous in their own right. Now, probably none of us in this room will be famous as the world knows famous. Yet, our name will be mentioned when we die by those that stand around our open grave, and they will desperately try to say something nice about us. They will search their memory banks for something to say. What will they say when they stand by your open grave? Or how do you want to be remembered? Here we have a list of people who made their mark. How can you make a mark so that you'll be remembered? Well, one way is to be first. Take a look at verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. Adam was first. Everybody knows who Adam was. The reason everybody knows who Adam was is because he's first. When the Olympics is over in a few months, those that are remembered are going to be those that were first. Seth, on the other hand, was third. Who knows Seth? Maybe a few Bible scholars, but the average person on the street would scratch his head and get it wrong on Jeopardy because they don't know who's third. Everybody knows who's first. George Washington. Oh, that's easy. He's first. Not everyone knows the 16th president. Well, maybe the historian. That was Abraham Lincoln. But the first, you remember, the first one to go around the world, the first one to go to the moon. The person who is first is the person who is remembered. And maybe that's going to be your claim to fame. Somehow you're going to be first in something, and people are going to remember you. And at your funeral, when they stand by your grave, somebody's going to stand up and say, he was first, or she was first. The first to climb Mount Everest. The first to reach the North Pole. First at something. Some people are going to be remembered and famous because they were first, like Adam. On the other hand, Some are going to be famous because of their longevity. Chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Oh, Methuselah. Everybody's heard of Methuselah. He didn't get here first, but he lasted the longest. See, some people, they can't get there first. They're not fast enough. The gun goes off and everybody's out of the starting blocks and you're just getting out. And they're gone and you're never going to be first. And if you have to be first to be famous, you'll never be famous. But you say, wait a minute. I might not get there first, but I might be able to stay there the longest. And you break a record of longevity. You become Cal Ripken. You stay there the longest, and that's what you're going to be remembered for. Or Grandma Moses, because of your age. Or an FDR, for all the things he did, he was president longer than anyone will ever be president. Longevity. J. Edgar Hoover, who had a way of just staying and staying and staying, being the longest. Some men are great because of their capacity to endure when others quit. Perhaps your great quality of your character is your sticking power. You can stick to it. Others quit and go home, but not you. You stay the longest. You're determined to stand your post until God relieves you from your duty. And some become famous because of their longevity, like Methuselah. Others, on the other hand, become famous because of their accomplishments, like Noah, verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and 500 years old. Nobody remembers him for that. Of course, he got older. They remember him because of what he did. You can't think of Noah without thinking of the ark. The thing that he did when he was in this world was so great that it became synonymous with the very mention of his name. He is remembered and distinguished by some great accomplishment. His life's work made him renowned. Noah. Noah's Ark. Well, perhaps you will accomplish some great thing. And that great thing will follow you all your days. There's Alexander Graham Bell and his telephone. There's George Eastman and his Kodak camera. There's Thomas Edison and his light bulb. There's Henry Ford and his automobile. There's Florence Nightingale, forever remembered wearing her nurse's cape. There's Jonas Salk and his vaccine. And so it goes. Each found some work to do. They did it so well that their name is remembered. They have left a legacy. I suspect that God has a job for every single person that's born. None is an accident. He has something for everyone to do. These were distinguished by what they did. May our life work. May what we do bring glory to God, that we might be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Find what God wants you to do, and then do it. Number four, some people are great or remembered by the associations they keep. Verse 32 again. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Nobody ever would have heard of Shem, Ham, and Japheth except their association to Noah. It was their association to Noah, by, of course, biology, that makes them famous. that makes them remembered. It was their relationship to Noah. There was Moses and Aaron, Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Timothy, Moody and Shanky, Billy Graham and Cliff Burrows. Cliff Burrows is a great musician. Always was. Probably would never have been heard of but for Billy Graham. Some are distinguished by being associated with great men. Some men are willing to live in the shadow of another great man, and by doing so, they themselves become great. They seem to understand their place. And because they understand their place, while not seeking it, they have found distinction in the ministry of help. Maybe that's what God has for you. You might not be Billy Graham. He's not given you the ministry of evangelism, but he's given you the ministry of help. And because you are willing to accept that, God uses you, and you leave behind a legacy that you were here. Number five, some become famous in their infamy. Chapter 4 and verse 25. For God said, she hath anointed me, appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Cain's claim to fame was that he was the first murderer. He received a mark. Listen to me. He received the mark that has not been removed till this day. Say, what was the mark of Cain? I love to hear racists talk about that. Not skin color. The mark of Cain is a mark of infamy. It's a legacy of what he did in his life. For all time and all eternity, it's a mark that will never be erased. What's that? He didn't build the first ark. He wasn't the first man. He didn't last the longest. He wasn't associated with greatness, but with infamy. He was the first murderer. There are some who want to make their mark in this world, and they attempt to do it without God, and what they do is make a mess. Instead of making a mark, they make a mess. Cain was famous because of infamy. That mark could not be washed off. That mark is both a warning and a witness. Everyone who saw him was able to point and say, that's Cain, that's the one. This world is a dark place, filled with men who have been marked by what they have done in sin. God made Cain's mark clear so everyone could see it. You read your Bible, you know that. Do you know that in certain kinds of light, things that are not normally seen suddenly become clear? You know, like the black light. There is going to be a light of judgment that God will shine on every man, woman, and child. And while we don't see it today, every mark of sin, every stain of iniquity will be evident. There are some here this morning who have committed sins that only God knows and you. And on the day of judgment, when you stand under the light of judgment, everyone will see. a mark worse than the mark of Cain. Be sure your sins will find you out. Cain, the first murderer. What a legacy. By an act, by a deed, by a sin. He was just a little baby. Like every other little baby that brought laughter and joy to the hearts of the mother that held it and everyone that came to peek in the bassinet. And yet Adolf Hitler grew up to be a name and leave a legacy that causes chills to run down the backs of every man and woman. And yet everyone starts out the same. Jeffrey Dahmer, who did things unspeakable, was once a little baby held in his mother's arms, who had high hopes for him. Maybe he had his father's eyes or his mother's hair, his uncle's smile. I don't know. But he had something you couldn't see without a special light, illumination of God's word. Sin. I don't know how long I'm going to live. Today could be my very last day. You may live to be the longest, and maybe even become famous for your longevity and be the oldest person in the assembly. But even that title, you'll have to force it and give up. Why? Well, it's right there in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5. And he died. Verse 8. And he died. Verse 11. And he died. And verse 14. And he died. And you find that special person that you want to live with, that you want to love, that you want to learn, you want to leave a legacy with, and you marry them, and you know what? And he's going to die. Or she's going to die. What's the purpose? I'm glad you asked. We can go to the book of Genesis and find out how man was made. But that's not as important as why man was made. You can put on a white lab coat and look into a microscope and discover something that I've never seen before. You can say, this is it. I see the genes. I see the signature, the DNA. This is it. This is the book of life. No, it's not. This is the book of life. Because it's not as important to know how we are made as it is to know why we are made. And so you start with a cell, and you start with a certain number of chromosomes, and they divide, and they divide, and they divide, and they divide, and finally you're a person, and you're born into the world. Then what? If you live long enough, you too will die. And you, like everyone that's born, has four longing desires. God allowed it to be. Somewhere in the DNA, I don't know exactly where the gene is, but it's in there. Longing, desire to live, to love, to learn, and to leave a legacy. The greatest legacy in Genesis chapter 5 was not being first. Not living longest, not doing the greatest thing, or doing the worst thing. The greatest legacy is found in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. When I die, and someone takes the time to come to my funeral, first of all, I should be humbled and surprised that anyone would come. ask you to remember anything and search for, can we find some good thing to say about this fellow? You only have to look at my college and seminary record and know that I'm not first. Never was going to be first, never could be first. I was glad to have graduated. I never broke any records. I'm not in Guinness's Book of Record of doing anything longest. I've never accomplished anything of any real great significance. I didn't discover the light bulb or sent a telephone. Somebody already went to the North Pole. I can't do that. Well, I know some famous people at a distance. They probably would say, who's he? I don't know him. Yeah, but remember, I'm not associated with greatness. Never will be. But there's one thing I can be remembered for and I want to be remembered for. He walked with God. And you know what? When you get right down to it, that's all that matters. Because we're all going somewhere. If you think for a moment that this is the main thing, you miss the whole point. We're going somewhere. Scientists tell us that all of matter and all of the planets in our known universe, it's not standing still. We're all hurtling through space. And scientists right now studying matter and antimatter and black holes are asking, where are we headed? And so there's some speculation about headed toward a black hole and implosion and fission and fusion. And they're trying to do the calculations. I can save them the trouble. I can tell you where we're going. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. We're all going to appear before God Almighty, the one who created us. And it'll open up a book. It will be our legacy. And he will look and see what we did with the time that he gave us. He'll look at what we did and how we lived, at what we loved, at what we learned, and he'll look at our legacy. How can I walk with God? 2,000 years ago, because man became a sinner and a wanderer in the world and would never find his way back to paradise by himself. By the way, that's what everybody's looking for. They're trying to get back into paradise after they've been expelled. Now, they don't say that. I don't walk up to somebody and ask them what they're doing, and they say, I'm trying to get back into paradise. What they say is, I'm looking for a reason to live. I'm looking for someone to love. I'm looking for things to learn. I want to be happy. I want to find peace. I want to find meaning. I want to find purpose. In other words, you want to find paradise. There's only one way to get back. You can't get back by yourself. 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ stepped out of eternity and into time. Walked where you walk and where I walk, and said, follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Most didn't believe him. There's a verse that I'd like to leave with you for those who are still searching and wondering what kind of legacy they might leave. I challenge you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, determined that you're going to follow him and walk with him. Oh, there's so many religions in Gomorrah. This even the guy over there in Afghanistan, he says that his prophet is the answer to all the problems in the world. Turn with me in your Bibles to John. Chapter 8. John chapter 8 brings us once again face to face with a liar, and that's what Satan is. He's been lying to people ever since the fall. But chapter 8 of John in verse 46. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? When you decide who Jesus Christ is, everything else is settled. If he is who he says he is, follow him. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. When you decide who Jesus is, then you'll find out who you are and why you're here. And when it's all over, think about it. He'll teach you how to live. He'll teach you how to love. He'll teach you how to learn, and he'll teach you how to leave a legacy that'll last forever. Trust Jesus. Follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us your word. Thank you for coming into this world and caring for us enough. Thank you for the Lord Jesus dying on Calvary for our sins. Thank you that he paid the price. We have but to believe, follow him, and live forever. Help those that are here this morning who still have not come to this glorious conclusion. Help them, Lord, to see that one day it will be too late. They too will die. But to know Christ is to know life eternal. Give them no peace, no rest, until they find it in him. I pray, Lord, that you would help us this week to do those things that will leave a legacy that will point to your goodness and your glory. Use us for what you made us for, and we'll just thank you for the privilege of walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all.